75% of Americans believe in UFOs. 30% of Americans believe UFOs are vehicles from other worlds. And 3% of Americans believe they have been abducted by aliens. That's over 8 million people. They're out there, aren't they?
Welcome to the UFO File Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Well, here we are at the UFO Files. I'm Jerry Pippin in snowy Oklahoma. And Larry Dickin, is it snowing there?
It's off and on the last couple of days, and I think tomorrow night is that we get a dusting of snow, less than an inch. We haven't had any snow this year, Jerry. You guys out there in the West have gotten it all.
Well, we had probably the biggest ice storm I've seen, at least from damage standpoints, last week, and now we have a pretty good little snow.
Right. Well, as I said, we had little, at least, you know, I mean, we started off.
It's not like you want to go skiing here.
We started off a number of weeks ago. You remember back in the first part of January, it was 70 degrees here. And it suddenly became a little more seasonal, but still not absolutely frigid. In other words, about as low. We had one night where it went down to around 10 degrees, and that's going to happen again next week in the middle of the week. A little colder time, but basically it's been quite seasonable here. Just no rain or snow.
Well, let's get to the sightings. The weather's been unusual, and the major media has been unusual with their coverage of sightings recently. Have you noticed?
Yeah. Yes, I certainly have. It's a little strange that reports that of the type that we often see over the years that maybe at most get local TV coverage, or maybe a small article in a local paper in a small town or city, has now become national news.
True. In fact, Keith Olbermann spent a little time on it a couple of days ago on his show, and
right.
Actually showed some video.
Yeah, and we have that clip from Mr. Olbermann's show out there adjacent to our program, and so you can take a look for yourself. And he mainly, you know, there's been a lot of talk over the last almost month now about the sighting over Chicago's O'Hare Airport, United's Terminal 1 Concourse C, to be specific. And even though that was reported originally on November the 7th, and we picked it up and from Peter Davenport, I think it was November the 20th, we picked that story up and talked about it. And we talked about it off and on as more information came in. And then all of a sudden it became a national media fest, and you know, which is good in a sense.
Well, we're still looking for a picture from somebody somewhere.
Yeah, anybody that lives in the Chicago area who has a picture of this, because we feel that if there was something at 1900 feet over one of the terminals at O'Hare Airport, that there must have been somebody else other than United personnel that were on the tarmac or on planes that were being brought into the gates there at Terminal 1. We figured there had to be other people in the area, around the airport, whatever. There are certainly homes in the area. People would be outside potentially, and they might have a picture of this thing. And if so, please do send it in. Send a copy in to us. We'd be happy to take a look at it.
Well, now the Oberman, I guess he didn't mention Chicago, but
he didn't really get into that story, no. He was mainly bringing up two follow-up stories that occurred. One was from Charlotte, North Carolina, and the other one from Hawaii. And I don't remember the town specifically in Hawaii, but it was, from the state of Hawaii. And they talked about that, and they had a person on representing MUFON's LA branch, and they discussed these two sightings.
Now, Channel 2 out in Honolulu had some stories on that Wagon sighting.
Right.
And I don't know, I think you pretty well figure it's a couple of jets with contrails. Happened at 6:20 in the evening.
Right. And this was basically sunset. I mean, you know, it sounds funny, 6:20 in the evening, that this would be right after sundown. But if you look at the photo images, which you can see in the Oberman video, you'll notice that the sky has a yellowish-orange glow to it, which is typical of a tropical sunset. And, and for us here, when the sun goes down at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it's hard to think about 6:20 in the evening, but it's true. Hawaii is much, much closer to the equator than we are.
Well, I know here in Central Time, December 21st, it's really early. But by February, it's getting closer to 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, when you live, within 10 degrees of the equator on either side, your sunrises and sunsets all year round, don't vary that much. So, it's like typically, in Hawaii, it'd probably vary between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock, if even that much.
Well, I don't know. I've never been to Hawaii.
Well, personally, I haven't either. I sure would like to go.
Well, maybe Dr. Salem will pay our way out there.
Perhaps so. He's having another conference this year, that's for sure. But back to this particular sighting, the images that I saw, certainly look very much like what I can see looking out my window on any night where there's a nice, beautiful sunset. And we have a lot of jet aircraft traffic in this area, not only low level, but high up in the air. Flights going from other cities to other cities and overflying us here. And I've seen on a number of occasions exactly what I saw in the images that were shown for this Hawaii report. The orange or yellow sunset glow, the contrail of a similar color, a little whiter. And the report here mentioned that the observers saw two flashes of light. And of course, I've seen that too, where a plane will pick up the reflection of the sunlight, because up at 40,000 feet where it's flying, the sun is still above the horizon, its horizon, and it's hitting the side of the plane, and of course that reflects back to your eyes even though the sun is already set, and you'll see a flash. And I've seen that a number of times here in my house as well.
Now the South Carolina, is that the Charlotte, right?
Yes, North Carolina, right.
That's a pretty interesting, and the picture they put in the paper down there was pretty incredible.
Yeah, is it, if you look at that image, it looks very much like a nighttime observation of a UFO that people report visually, in other words, eyewitness accounts. of an object that's bright in the center. You can't really determine the shape. Maybe it's a disc shape, maybe it's a triangle, whatever. But it has this plasma glow of a different color around it. And that glow may be, you know, any color. They've been reported as white, red through blue, you know, any color of the spectrum, the visual spectrum. People have reported seeing UFOs with these glows around them at night. And that's exactly what this looks like. Now, does that mean that it's definitely a UFO? Well, in one sense, it's definitely an unidentified flying object, because the reports from Charlotte, this is a multi-witness sighting. There was only one photograph taken, and that is by this individual. And they he says that the Charlotte paper enhanced the photograph to make it a little more dramatic. He said it wasn't quite this bright. And I have a copy of both, the unenhanced and the enhanced. And but it's still, even in the unenhanced, quite dramatic. And as I said, usually, you know, one of the explanations offered here is that even though this was a multiple person sighting, there, I think there were even some police officers that reported it, the thing passed over in about 10 to 15 seconds, according to the observer that took the photograph. And that's generally what people reported. He did not report one thing, which a number of other witnesses, depending upon their viewpoint, were able to see. And that was that at the end of the flight path, so to speak, it appeared to fizzle out and break into pieces. Now, this would potentially say that it was a bolide, because, you know, but bolides generally tend to have a smoking trail behind them. In other words, these are very large meteorites, or meteors, excuse me. Meteorite is when they hit the ground. And they're very large, but they luckily break apart into small pieces before they hit the earth. In other words, they're not a big, solid, compact object. They're more like a collection. It's almost like a piece of a comet or something. Probably a lot of ice in it and whatnot. So it breaks apart into very small pieces and appears to disintegrate.
Well, I've seen a bolide before, and I know you have too. The one I saw out in Arizona one night traveling down I-40 was bright bluish and maybe white, maybe a little green in it, but it was really slow.
Right.
I mean, it was almost like a flare.
Right. And that's the aspect of the thing, is that they, unlike meteors that people see in meteor showers, which can be very fast in their movement across the sky, bolides can appear to fall very, very slowly. And the thing is, as I said, they're very large objects, but they're made up of material that is, you know, is very uncompacted and sort of breaks apart into small pieces. So it's large, and it appears to move slow because it's actually very far away from where your location is. And that is mentioned in this article, is that it might have been 30 miles up in the atmosphere, and potentially it might have been. And they said sightings were coming in from up to 100 miles away from Charlotte, so it was widely seen. So all these things tend to point to the fact that potentially it was a bolide. However, there are certain aspects of bolides that appear to be missing in the photograph here, and that just may be because of how the photograph was taken, the exposure time, the lighting conditions and whatnot, because there may have been a, you know, a white streaming tail behind this. It just wasn't visible in this photograph. So I will call it a UFO in the sense of not space ETs necessarily traveling across Charlotte here, but the fact is we can't really positively identify it.
Well, there have been lots of reports in the South recently. In fact, Rick Norris, who listens to us religiously, hangs on every word. He says, "Hey, man, I live in a UFO hotspot. I'm not kidding. In the last 4 months, I've seen all kinds of UFOs. They light up. They look like they're round. And they're flying fast, too fast to be planes. I'm stumped, and I have no idea what they are." Now, you got to understand, that's quite a statement from Rick.
Right.
Because he's always knocking us on our UFO sightings. So now, all of a sudden, he's seen a bunch of them. They're in Birmingham, Alabama, and he's beginning to think maybe there's something to it. He says, "Jerry, I'm scared. They're really scary looking to watch. It's almost like a horror movie coming true."
I guess he thinks the invasion's begun, right?
Yep. Well, he's a neocon, so that might buy into that. And he listens to us, and I've told him that I think they're coming to eat us, so maybe he believes it.
Maybe you've convinced him, yeah. Better look out, Rick, you know, as they got their knife and their fork with them here.
That's right, and a little A1 steak sauce. And you are the main course, Rick. We got a note from A.J. Gerard about a sighting that he came to him because all of the publicity, the Chicago sightings and the other things are getting about things being close to airports.
Right.
And he said back in Sao Paulo, Brazil, on October 30th, 1976, about 5 p.m., a student by the name of Julio Trazi Martinez observed and photographed a huge cylinder-like object hovering over a location just a few blocks from the Congolese Hotel, I think, National Airport.
Right.
And says that's close to downtown Sao Paulo.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about a few hundred meters high. And he says that airport is the busiest one in South America at that time. I didn't know that.
Right.
And so he just thought he'd mention that. And the reason I mentioned it is later on we're going to deal with cylinders.
Right. Well, that was the interesting point that he came out with, that, you know, not only it was over an airport, but the fact that it was one of these cylindrical-shaped craft that appear to be motherships. And we are going to talk about that here.
Yeah, George Filer spends almost his entire report this week on that
right.
subject.
So maybe the invasion has begun, or maybe it's just a periodic visit.
Yeah, I was trying to say this one happened back in the 70s. There might have been an advance group.
Right.
There have been some strange things happening in South America, no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah. They do eat people down there. At least that's what the reports say.
Oh, yeah, there are all kinds of, I mean, you know, that kind of backs up what I was kidding Rick
mm-hmm.
about.
Well, I have a listener's report here that I thought that we would do. It's relatively short, but we do appreciate getting reports from our listeners from time to time, and we try to make sure that we get them on the show. So we have a report this week. It was sent to me a few days ago by Deborah Leaf in Middletown, Ohio.
You know, the end name in UFO circles this week is Deborah. We had a lady from Ontario named Debbie.
Right.
Write Mr. S.
Right.
So what does this Deborah say?
Are you going to talk about what Mr. X had to say on that issue?
Well, I think it's going to be posted on our website.
Yeah, when?
And we've sent it to the webmaster, and I'm sure he'll get around to it by the next day. It'll be well up by the time the show does. Mr. X's reply, she's asking him some questions, several questions about UFOs.
Right. The webmaster, yes, that would be me, right.
Well, I was trying to protect you as much as possible.
Okay, we have this report here from Deborah in Middletown, Ohio. Now, Ohio has always been an area where there's been a lot of UFO activity, and, you know, strangely enough, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base being there, famous for the possibility of having housed the Roswell crash debris and also some ET bodies. So you can see that the ETs might be buzzing around that area constantly.
Well, no, in all seriousness, there have been lots and lots of sightings in that area.
Right.
Over the years.
At any rate, this is one of these when I was a kid reports, but, you know, we do appreciate these being reported because a lot of people will see UFOs and it will make quite an impression on them, obviously, when they remember it many, many years later. But they often do not report what they see when they see it. And of course, many, many years ago, like when I was a kid, there really weren't places that you could report. You know, if you called the police, they thought you were crazy. So you just didn't report it, period. And these reports do surface from time to time from the past. And I know our friend Brian Vike up in Canada, up in the cold country, he sort of specializes in getting these old reports and putting it into his database on his site.
And of course, we have our own very own Rick Kropman, who does the same thing. He digs up sightings from years ago.
Right, which we do every week, and we're going to do one of them here shortly. So let me do this little report. This occurred at around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Don't have a specific date, I mean, you know, like month and day, but she says that this was in 1976, she believes. In other words, she's not remembering the specifics on this, just the fact that it happened when she was younger. And she has a very interesting comment about remembering at the end here. She says the incident that I and my mother had was similar to the O'Hare Airport incident. The UFO just appeared like a huge golden football in the sky in plain sight. Amazing that we forgot the incident. Well, my mother did, but I only remembered it later that night when I heard the news at 10 o'clock that we were not the only witnesses to this sighting. Strange to forget something so plain in sight and huge that was sitting over a shopping mall in Kettering, Ohio. And indeed, it is strange.
Well, another strange thing, she says 1976, and that report I gave from AJ and down in Brazil was October 30th of 1976.
Right. All these coincidences tonight, huh? Somebody's going to make something out of that. Big flying motherships, 1976, Chicago O'Hare. Many sightings this week, past week, blah, blah. Okay. So,
You're going to make it. I'm going to get you a job with the Globe. Running headlines.
Or World News Daily or
yeah,
whatever
right,
they call
right,
it.
Right. That'd be a good one.
So at any rate, thank you to Deborah for this and your comment about forgetting the incident, you know, immediately after it happened is quite interesting. And I'm not going to talk about abduction. We'll save that for another show.
Anyway, Deborah, Larry is indicating that perhaps there was more to the story than you remember.
Perhaps.
Well, maybe we'll jog our memory.
Okay. We have an interesting message that was sent out to us and probably many other people, but I think it's worth mentioning. We have a report from Stan Gordon about what happened in Pennsylvania during 2006. And, you know, we did our little end-of-the-year report a few weeks ago, and this is sort of along the same lines, except it's basically centered around things that were sent in to him from the Pennsylvania area. And some quite interesting things did happen. And he says here, he maintains contact with many researchers and organizations who have similar interests to his, which include such things in as the famous UFO crash landing in 1965, which is sort of Stan's specialty.
We've done a lot of shows on Kecksburg with him.
Right, he's the specialist on Kecksburg. And but of course he's also a researcher of UFO sightings, landings, abductions, anything else that happens in the Pennsylvania area. And also he's very interested in the Bigfoot phenomena.
Yeah, we've done shows with him on Bigfoot, and he is very interested, no doubt about it.
So Pennsylvania seems to be a big hangout for Bigfeet. I don't know why. I guess it's, you know, there is an awful lot of forest and mountains in Pennsylvania. Seems like an ideal place.
Well, I mean, everybody wants to go to the Poconos sometime.
Right.
And so I guess the Bigfoot doesn't.
Right. You know, many of the sightings here, and one that he talks about here is from Allegheny County, which is out in the western part. It's close to Pittsburgh, I believe. If I'm wrong, tell me so.
Well, I think you're right, but I'm not going to walk the plank over it, as I say.
Right. So this is what he has to say. He says...
And there's a great song about Allegheny County called Allegheny Moon of Patti Page.
Right.
Before your time, probably.
No, Patty wasn't before that time.
Anyway, what's he say about Allegheny?
He's said that, that they have, he has an interest in the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society. He's a member, and he helps out with investigations, and he says that there's been quite a bit of activity with Bigfoot in Pennsylvania, in western Pennsylvania specifically this year. He says in Westmoreland and Allegheny and several other counties. He says in January in Allegheny counties, some men reported seeing a creature run into the woods near North Park. In July, a family in Bradford County reported strange screams from a nearby forest. The next day, they discovered a dismembered deer placed in the yoke of a tree. You know, he calls it a Y, but I would call it a yoke. You know, it's where two big branches join together. Some strange 17-inch-long footprints were seen nearby. In September, near Apollo, Pennsylvania, a woman reported a Bigfoot running across the road in front of her car. A few days later, not far from the same areas as that report, a man digging a ditch reportedly smelled a rotten odor at the same time that he spotted a creature that was watching him. The Bigfoot was said to have picked up a bale of hay before running off into the woods, presumably carrying the bale of hay with him. I guess he wanted a bed.
Well, I don't know. They may be vegetarians.
Well, I've heard that that was the case. Now, that doesn't explain the dismembered deer up in the tree, but, you know, who knows?
Well, maybe it's some sort of religious ceremony.
Okay.
Just an idea.
So Stan goes on to talk about some UFO sightings of interest that occurred in Pennsylvania. He had some unusual sightings during 2006 of triangular, spherical, diamond, and rectangular-shaped objects that were reported from various widespread locations. The following are examples of some of the UFO sightings reported. April 7th, Cambria County, a person driving a car was traveling westbound on Route 271 between Johnstown and Ligonier. At about 9:40 p.m., the driver noticed a bright light outside the passenger side window. Hovering near the window was a brilliant round object about the size of a car headlight. This sounds like one of these probe objects that people report from time to time. In other words, they're not a giant UFO, they're just a small little light. And this one was obviously probing the passenger of this car. The light followed the car at about 3 feet away for about a half a mile, and then suddenly backed away from the window and arched up into the sky and was lost from sight. April or May, near Latrobe in Westmoreland County, where some of those big feet were seen, a huge rectangular object with many lights was observed moving very slowly in this rural area. The driver, in a car, presumably, was so amazed by what she was seeing that she slowed down to get a better look at the object that was very low off the ground and made no sound. On June the 3rd in Swickley, Allegheny County, at about 6:30 p.m., two people observed two umbrella-top-shaped objects. So, you know, picture an umbrella being open, and you know, that's sort of a half of a sphere shaped object, which were close to each other in the sky. The objects moved against the wind and made no noise as they moved over the Ohio River. December 12th, near Kramer in Indiana County, two women observed a large, silent, diamond-shaped object with lights moving very low and slowly over a power line. At one point, the object passed directly over their car and continued to move out of sight. So thank you to Stan for sending those reports in.
Yeah, Stan's on top of it, especially everything there in Pennsylvania. He's quite a guy.
Right. And now we're going to go to another quite a guy. We're going to go to Rick's pick.
Well, good. I think Rick's had a break from the snow, and it's all come to Oklahoma.
Seems to. Or Colorado, where Jane
is. Yeah, it's
is,
snowing
right?
There, too, tonight. Jane Swartley, one of our editors, producers.
You know, we were talking earlier about the Laughlin Conference that's coming up, and I said, you know, what's the temperature there at the end of February, beginning of March?
Well, it's in the daytime, it can be as high as 80, but usually it's around 60, 65.
Right.
I have seen it bordering on freezing, 35 or 30 or so, with heavy rain, but that's rare.
Heavy rain, I would expect, would be very rare in that area, right?
Well, it does rain in the winter.
Does it?
Yes.
I guess it does, yeah, yeah. Even in Phoenix, I've heard it rained in the winter.
Even in Phoenix, it snowed last week.
Right, right.
Which is rare. Anyway, we'll be at the UFO Congress, and Larry Dickin may join us.
That's what they always say. that's every year.
Not a promise yet, but we're getting him to consider it.
Well, you know, somebody has to take care of the store at home, like the website.
Yeah, I know.
But we'll see what happens. I've got a lot of people asking me, why aren't you coming out?
Well, it's going to be quite an affair this year. It starts off fast on Sunday night with Dr. Stephen Greer. And on Saturday, Dan Burrish will be there. Not officially, but he's going to be interviewed by us. And I'm sure he'll sneak in around, see, I think he's going to see Paula Harris for a while, too.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a booth.
There's going to be a lot of people sneaking around that place this year, aren't there? Even more than last year.
Oh, yeah. Rick Doty said he'd be back.
Mm-hmm. Maybe even Paul McGovern will be there.
Well, I'm sure it'll be with Rick.
And,
Gordon Novell will probably show up. Jim Mars is one of the speakers. He'll be there.
Right. So, lots of cloaks and daggers. Hopefully not too many daggers.
Well, it's easier to dodge a dagger than a bullet. So. All according to your perspective. Well, we don't expect any fireworks.
No.
Well, we can't bill it ahead of time. No, I think everything will be okay. That's just where everybody on every side of the fence gets together.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we're kidding about that. These are all good people.
No, he's kidding about that, but we're just not going to name who's bad and who's good, okay?
So, well, with that, we probably stuck our 2 feet in each other's mouth enough on that. Let's talk about Rick's pick. And he's got a strange one this week. Human-like forms seen inside silently hovering disk. This occurred in Harvey, which is a little town
in Illinois,
outside of Marquette,
yeah,
in Michigan.
Michigan.
Right.
Well, there's a Harvey, Illinois, too.
Right.
I didn't know there was a Harvey, Michigan. We'll have to ask Dr. Kit Green about that.
Right.
He may live there.
He might.
Former medical officer with the CIA, who is one of your better friends.
Okay.
Actually does listen to us, so.
I don't know what he thinks of us, but he listens to
us.
Well,
I've never asked him. That's one thing we just don't ask.
Right.
Somebody might be honest. I don't know if my ego can take it.
Back to Rick's pick. Rick, yes, we're definitely going to give you a report this week. You know, we're going to get around to it here. Here it goes. Coming around a country corner that lined a field, my brother and I saw this disc-shaped silver aircraft that hovered with no sound. In the front of this craft was a window, if you will, I guess I will, mounted on a more of a dome shape versus a rounded shape, which seemed to occupy the front top quarter to half of the craft. It appeared that two human forms were in this window with what looked like a panel in front of them, appearing sort of like a desk or a control board of some kind. I say human forms because they seem to have a round shape for a head. Well, that's a good start. Shoulders with arms, that's even better. And a body or a trunk. Well, that's, you know, humanoid, I suppose. I could not see their faces, clothing, skin, or hair. I could only make out the shape of human-like forms. There were two of them, I believe, in this window area of the craft. This craft was that close. It was just above the treetops. I'm not sure if it was adrenaline from fear, but my lips rolled on my teeth.
I wonder how that looks.
That's interesting. Very descriptive. I mean, there was not even a drop of saliva in my mouth. That is how frightened I was. I slowed my vehicle for only moments, I'm sure. But he then drove away very fast, with my heart pounding. My brother and I never uttered a word to each other at the time. I was 17 years old. He was just 12 years old. I lived on my own in a cabin on the Choquelet River in Michigan, which feeds into Lake Superior. So I guess this is up in the northern part of Michigan, you know, that little peninsula.
Yeah, that's what they call it.
Right. Not far downstream from my cabin. This was very close to K.I. Sawyer Air Force Base, interestingly enough, which was active at the time. I called the Air Force Base and reported the sighting. I'm not sure with whom I spoke, but I was told that there was nothing on the radar, as if they'd tell me whether or not there was anything or not anyway. And that, if it was just above the treetops, they probably wouldn't see it on radar, and that's true. You know, radar sees things higher up in the air, but it's not very good at seeing things low on the ground. After calling the Air Force Base, we were still so frightened. My little brother slept with me that night. This was a one-bedroom cabin, but he would have slept on the couch under a normal situation. There were lace curtains on the two pane slide up windows. Okay. Close to the ground, if you were outside, the bottom of the window would be at about waist level. There was no way to totally close the outer window completely from the inside. Not long after we had arrived home, and I had called the Air Force Base with the initial report, I swear that this craft hovered above my cabin, which is about 2 miles from where the initial incident occurred. My little brother and I just clung to one another with fear. Light from this craft shone through the windows of the bedroom. Now I was used to B-52s flying over constantly and never had this happen before, nor had it happened again after this incident. Since then, I had moved out of my cabin there in Michigan, but from that day on until now, up until about 4 years ago, I have had dreams, or more precisely, nightmares of UFOs in the sky at my cabin there, down by the river, and also by another home I had previously lived in on Silver Creek Road, which were both in close proximity of where the original incident occurred. My brother and I did not, and we do not speak of this incident. I am now 42 years old and he is 37. We both have families of our own now and have not experienced anything like this since. Of course, as time has gone on, I'm sure he is as well as myself have talked ourselves into believing it just didn't happen. But you know what? Something actually did happen, and we couldn't explain it then, and we still can't explain it now. So for what it's worth, that is my UFO story. Not everyone has one, but I sure do.
It sounds like he sure does.
Well, they certainly had a close encounter there.
Anyway, these are things that some people, they just don't talk about them right away. It takes a while, usually.
So we have some filers' reports here of a lot of...
Yeah, it's kind of a theme thing this week.
All right. Cylinders from back in the 1890s forward, all sorts of reports. Now, we're going to try to keep to the current reports due to time constraints here. So we're going to talk about some things that have happened fairly recently.
I guess basically the theme here that Filer lays out is that these huge cylinders, which we've talked about off and on over the years, are motherships of some sort.
Right. It appears because of their apparent size, and people have seen them as close as a few thousand feet away, and they're really huge objects. Also, they've been observed to have disc-shaped objects emerge from them, indicating indeed that they are basically a base from which, quote, scout craft could exit and do exploration or any other funny business that the ETs are up to.
Basically like a huge aircraft carrier. Only it's inside.
Right, right.
Instead of a deck.
Right. And, you know, you can say, well, you know, there are so many different kinds of UFOs reported, the smaller models, anywhere from, you know, 30 to 100 feet across, and sometimes even larger. You know, we get the football's field or multiple football field-sized giant triangles, for example.
Well, and we're coming up on the Phoenix Lights anniversary, 10th anniversary, and they had a giant triangle there.
Right.
That was a mile or so, mile and a half
right across. So things come in different sizes, different shapes.
Which reminds me, somebody told me Bill Hamilton has a picture of one of those giant craft. We did a show with Bill, and he didn't mention it to me. I'm going to have to contact him.
Right.
He's holding out on me again.
It must be. Either that or it's a rumor. It seems that there could be the possibility that there could be these very, very large triangles could be one form of mothership that a particular ET species might make use of. And then you have these giant cylinders from which discs seem to emerge that another species may use. And you have all sorts of different shapes and sizes of craft overall. And I have to make mention of the fact that, you know, I have a discussion on this. And the next two UFO magazines, the issues coming out, one in February and one in March, is one of them I talk about lights in the sky and the various types of lights and what they might represent as seen from various distances. And then in the March issue, I mean, that was in the February issue, in the March issue, we go on to talk about various shapes of objects seen in the daytime, where you can actually see real shapes.
And if you can still find the January copy, there's another interesting fellow with a column there.
You're right. You did the column for January, right?
And yes, I did talk about ETs eating us for lunch.
Right. You know, there's some discussion if you get your copy of UFO magazine, either at the local magazine store, wherever you can get magazines, or if you get a subscription, we have an ad on our site where you can click and go over to their site and order the magazine so you can get it each month. Let's get on to some reports here. I'm going to start out with a report from Pennsylvania that is very recent, and it's interesting in that it's reported as being a tube-shaped object, which is a cylinder, but the lighting on it, this is a nighttime sighting, so the lighting on it is quite dramatic, and this isn't so much of a giant cylinder seen at great height. This is something seen fairly close up. Now here's a report. We had reports from Pennsylvania from Stan Gordon. This is another report from Pennsylvania. This is from New Hope, which is right across the Delaware River from New Jersey. And this took place on January 23rd, so that was about a week ago. The report reads, "I was a skeptic." They always are, aren't they, Jerry?
Until they see one.
Until they see one. Until last night, on January 23rd, 2007, I was outside walking my dog at 10 p.m. and happened to look up in the sky, and I saw what looked like a thick tube of bright yellow and white lights in the sky above me. At first, I thought maybe it was a low-flying jet, but the light was more like a wide tube filled with light than jet headlights. In other words, envision a fluorescent light bulb, a cylinder, up in the sky above you. And that's about what he's describing. It was heading southwest overhead, away from me, not towards me. It was moving too fast and too low in the sky to be a jet. There was total silence for the moment that I saw the object. It basically streaked across a small portion of the open sky above me and then literally disappeared in the open and completely visible sky. So this is an object that, as it traveled away from him, actually vanished into thin air in front of his eyes. There were absolutely no clouds overhead. It flew over rather fast and then just dissipated into nothingness.
Most of these cylinder objects are seen further off.
Right. As I said, this is an example is that, the most of the giant cylinder sightings, as I said, are taken as being motherships, and these are usually seen at a great distance. In other words, they're up at 40,000 feet, or maybe they're up at 20 miles above the Earth. We really don't know exactly. We haven't had anybody triangulate these things to tell us exactly what their altitude is, but they're extremely large. And they're not only seen around the Earth, there have been reports and actually photographic images from the little Martian surveyor craft showing what appears to be a cylinder above Mars.
And there have been reports of things spotted as far away as Saturn.
Right. So, these are obviously big motherships, and they're just floating around the whole solar system. And so, but here was an example, as I said, of apparently a rather small cylindrical shaped craft, which is not often reported. Now we have another report here from Eugene, Oregon. Now you notice the close proximity of dates here. So a lot of cylindrical craft being seen just over the last week. This says, I was running due southwest along a path off 11th Street on January 22nd, 2007, when I spotted an unusual structure about 1,500 to 2,000 feet or so in the sky above me, moving slowly in a generally southerly direction at 5:15 p.m. It was black, not white this time. Often these cylinders are reported as being white or silver. It was black, round, and approximately the size of a large airliner, but shaped differently. Another object appeared to dangle from the back of it. It looked like almost like another circular UFO, but much smaller. Several times it appeared to catch up with a larger object and meld into it and then reemerge. I guess they were having a little problem docking the disc there, huh?
What it sounds like.
So, at that height and apparent distance, it might, of course, have been circling the larger object. Well, logically, that sounds like it might be correct. I also saw what appeared to be another object leave the first and fly southwest ahead of the object. So here is an example of exactly what we've talked about, the large mothership with the small disks coming in and out. And this is apparently what this guy was seeing.
And we're talking about recent, last week.
Right.
We got time for one more.
Okay.
On our cylinder report.
Right. Another fairly recent, here in January, report from Cleveland, Ohio. Ohio disc spotted and a cylinder going together, of course. The Cleveland UFO, Cleveland Ufology Project reports Dave, who works off of Tyler Boulevard, saw a UFO on January the 3rd of this year at 12 noon. It was northeast of my position and no more than 2 miles away and no higher than 1,500 feet. I look up all the time because I've seen UFOs before. There was a blue sky background with some high clouds, and coming out of the west was slowly rotating on its side a metallic-looking disc moving no faster than 10 miles an hour and going south. It was just north of Route 2, but in between 306 and 615, if that makes any sense to anybody outside of Cleveland. I saw it for 10 minutes. I no longer saw it after coming out of the other side of McDonald's drive-thru. So he's waiting for his burgers and he's watching this UFO. No noise that I could hear was coming from the craft. Lost Nation Airport, I guess that's a little private airport, has small planes flying all the time, landing and taking off, so I know the difference. It was not a balloon, a kite, a bird, a blimp, temperature inversion, weather phenomena, etc. I was able to show one person at the time of the sighting what I was seeing. It was about 6 to 12 inches in diameter. Now, is that one of these at arm's length things? One would suspect so.
Well, that's a good way to end the report. When you're in the McDonald's drive-thru, keep your eyes to the sky. Oh, that's your line.
Right.
Watch out for those flying cylinders.
Yes, Jerry, indeed. That's good for this week. Keep your eyes to the skies.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
I'm a spaceman, and I just got in from space, a spaceman. I'm looking for the human race, a spaceman. I played a whisper, it was here. I'm a spaceman.